Hello and welcome back to Next 2.0 on WQLN NPR. The show is produced by the Public's Voice Media. I am your host, Marcus Atkinson, with guest voice Mark Blunt and special guest Vanessa Bellin. If you want to know more about Next 2.0, you can go to Facebook and like the page. You can also follow us on Instagram at Next 2.0 Erie. There you can keep up with upcoming show promos, events, and clips about what's next for our communities and our democracy. Thank you so much for tuning in. Social media influencers. These people have really emerged as a powerful force in today's digital economy. They've been significantly impacting various sectors left and right. Their ability to engage and influence large audiences has created all types of avenues for marketing and brand promotion. Now, this has led to a shift in advertising strategies, with businesses allocating substantial budgets towards influencer collaborations. As a result of this, influencers have become entrepreneurs, monetizing their online presence through sponsored content, affiliated marketing, and product endorsements. And listen, this new profession knows no age and knows no boundaries, as you'll hear on today's show. This trend has stimulated economic growth in industries ranging from fashion and beauty to travel and technology, as brands seek to tap into the credibility and authenticity associated with these influencers. Furthermore, the influencer economy has spawned an ecosystem, a very vast ecosystem, and that of supporting industries to include influencer marketing agencies, content production companies, and platforms dedicated to influencer management. Now, here's the downside. It's important to note that the influencer landscape is not without challenges. We got issues related to transparency, authenticity, and the evolving regulatory environment. The government is still struggling with how to keep up with these ever-evolving times when it comes to digital media, especially with social media influencers. Overall, the economic impact of social media influencers is absolutely undeniable, reshaping traditional marketing strategies and fostering a dynamic and rapidly evolving digital marketplace is what is transpiring before our very eyes. Today, we analyze this with Vanessa Bellin and again with my guest, Mark Blunt, my normal guest host, Mark Blunt. The age of influence today on Next 2.0. The age of influence. I'm here in studio with one of my favorite guest voices, Mark Blunt. And I'm also here with what I want to call the first lady of Next, seeing that she's one of the most, if not the most popular female guests or guest in general that's ever been on the show, Miss Vanessa Bellin, our own local social media influencer. Vanessa, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
I went through this whole intro about Deion Sanders. Mm-hmm. And the role that he's playing at Colorado, the influence he's had at Colorado, everything he's bringing to the table. And it's not just football. Deion's influence is something that coaches are not accustomed to. We've seen coaches do commercials. We've seen coaches do endorsement deals. But Deion's is on another level. I'm going to recant something that I said during the intro a little bit. The secret son of Deion Sanders is Deion Sanders Jr., right? We're so used to seeing Shador flashing his watch.
Yeah.
And Shiloh back in the secondary. But his son, Deion Sanders Jr., he runs the social media page. His social media YouTube page is called Well Off Media. And it says he went from 80,000 subscribers to 250,000 shortly after they got involved with Colorado. This is a stat that really tripped me out. The total aggregate following for the Colorado football program's individual and team social media accounts increased by 500% since our brother Deion arrived on campus. Last stat before we go into this conversation, the number of businesses and other registrants that are looking to pay Colorado football players for NIL deals, and for those that aren't familiar, name, image, and likeness, that has increased 258% since Deion arrived. Why are we doing this show? Because if you listened a couple of weeks ago, I had a show about the rising cost of college. And in that, one of the young people that we interviewed said, I think the rising cost and the fact that a lot of people are not going to college. And she said, you know, in this day and age, people are looking at influencers and the kind of money that they're making. And these kids are looking at this as like a viable option.
And I think that matters. And I said then during that intro, man, we got to do a show on some of these things separately. So that kind of gave birth to wanting to do this. And I figured who better to unpack this with? This young lady who's an influencer unto herself and continues to grow as such. And Mark Blunt, who is keenly paying attention to everybody's influence. How much influence you got? How much influence you got? That's what Mark does.
Right.
And so, Mark, I'm going to start with you. Before we even bring our guest in, the Deion Sanders effect, man. Speak to that, because I know you've been on that since it all started rolling.
I think Deion has found out how to monetize certain things and market certain things. But I don't discount the influence. I think there's a hidden influence behind, since we say influencers. T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes influence, not only Primetime, but Michael Irvin. Listen to him. And when you hear it, that's church. They're doing church. And what does church do? What do your pastor do? Your pastor influence. And so what you see is a light that's in them. And they've learned how to monetize it, influence. And I'm not saying it in a shady fashion. I'm saying it in an inspiring fashion. And they've mastered it. Mm-hmm. And I think they had a great teacher in T.D. Jakes. Because T.D. Jakes was one of the ones before social media. I think our church was a social place. And I think social media is an extension of a lot of industries like entertainment, entertainment industries or barbershop talks. And everything like that.
It's infiltrated everything these days. And, you know, if you're listening and you don't know what Mark is making reference to, T.D. Jakes, that's Deion Sanders' pastor.
Yes.
Right? And he's had a profound influence on the life of Deion Sanders. I got to ask this, Mark, while I have you here, the Jackson State alum.
That's right.
Right?
J-State.
And Deion obviously did his thing at Jackson State before he made the leap. This kind of media attention that Deion is getting brings forth a lot of scrutiny. And there have been a lot of people dogging our brother for making a leap from this HBCU to the Colorado Rockies, right?
Yes.
Give us your 2 cents on that before we go into the influence conversation, because I heard some hate from a lot of brown people's mouths.
I had a mixed emotion type thing with this love-hate thing with Deion. I never hated Deion. What I didn't want to happen was that my school was being a reality show versus a serious HBCU or a serious program. And I think Deion did go there to coach, to learn how to coach or to coach. And he's been coaching. A misnomer is like that was his first time coaching. Deion's been coaching for quite some time. He's not new to this. And a lot of these kids that he has right now, he's had them since Little League. So when you do further investigation, you'll see these things. Secondly, I was kind of fascinated by Deion. Wasn't the first to do this. Let's take Doug Williams. Doug Williams, first African American to win Super Bowl at quarterback. He went to Grambling. Mm-hmm. Eddie Robinson. Biggest program. I'm Jay State all the way, but Grambling is known. And he didn't get the same effect. And I think that is a testament to social media. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't, that was just starting kind of in that era. But when Deion came, you seen the Stephen A's come. You seen Shannon Sharp, Shay Sharp. Shout out to Shay Sharp. All these type individuals started going towards Deion. And he's not the only African-American coach that's coaching college ball. You got Marcus Freeman. So you have to ask, why was it Deion? What was it about Deion that did it? And I think it was his personality, man, and his faith that we found curious and we liked. And his swag, I guess swag is a word that we got to use in social media. Also, you had mentioned Shadur. I think that's his name, Shadur Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
To my audience,
calls him grown.
I will mess up a name to my audience. I want you to know that. That's a fault of mine. But I look at LeBron's son, Bronny. Bronny has like 2 million followers. Mm. And they've monetized it. They found out how to monetize these things. LeBron has 158 million followers. Mm-hmm. So advertisers sees these things. And these things have become new networks. Micro networks. Micro advertising. Micro influences, which you can monetize and make money off of. And it's an avenue that a lot of people think is easy. It's not. It takes some skill. Mm-hmm. It takes some personality.
Yep, absolutely. Deion has a He's got a compelling story. He is arguably the greatest story in sports history. When you look at the total scope of his entire career as a player, as a coach, baseball, football, this, and he got his nickname Primetime from playing basketball in high school. He didn't come from football because he was the man in that too. And so Deion was the total package, which takes us to Miss Vanessa. In many ways, same situation. This sister's a total package. I mean, she's beautiful.
Thank you, thank you.
She's got jokes. She's a deep thinker. She's got a compelling story. Some of it makes you laugh. Some of it makes you cry. And I think that Vanessa, just watching you from the sidelines, it's kind of like that Deion Sanders type effect where there's so many different things about you that make people want to tune in, mm-hmm. right? How has being an influencer or going down that road impacted your day-to-day? And when did you discover that, hey, I've got a voice here and people, it's resonating with people?
It was quite a few years back. For those who may not know, I lost my son, Elijah Jackson. He was 16 back in July 24th of 2015. So that kind of started the ball rolling of like getting attention that I didn't necessarily expect or want or even needed, but I knew I wanted justice, so it came with the territory. So fast forwarding into being on social media and my like friends list growing and people paying attention and watching, and I remember posting something, and it was a negative comment that I had posted, but I was angry and I was upset, and it was in relation to losing my son. And when I saw all the commentary, that the majority of the commentary were from the young people, the teenagers, and my kids, my nieces and nephews, like they were all, I'm like, oh my God, I am literally influencing these kids. And I had to take that comment, that post I made, I had to take it down because I realized quite quickly, because it just happened so drastically, like it was so fast. Mm-hmm. It was hundreds of comments. I'm like, at that point, I realized the kind of influence that I had and that people were tuning in, young and old. And I knew that I had to find a way to like utilize, I guess, that power in a sense. You know, what did Spider-Man's uncle say? With great power comes great responsibility. I realized at that moment that I was responsible whether I wanted to be or not. So ever since then, like I am conscious to a degree of what I choose to post or discuss or what picture I want to post of myself. I don't care about people's opinions. It doesn't pay my bills unless you want to pay my bills with your opinions, you know, about my opinions. That's cool. I'll take that. But I have learned that you do, in a sense, have to be careful, but you don't have to be too careful that it's basically taking away from your personality of who you are, mm-hmm. And standing your moral ground. You know, everybody knows I'm always with that I don't give a fuck attitude, you know, but it's very real. And I've had to do that and kind of be that way just to get through the process of even dealing with such a tremendous loss.
Yeah.
But just recognizing that you have power, that your words, like they used to say, what was it? Words don't hurt. Yeah. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Realizing that, in fact, it can.
Yeah,
and it actually can hurt mm-hmm. you.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I look back at high school and I think about the influencers then. One, if you were a hot DJ, mm-hmm. you had some influence. Two, if you were putting together the bomb mixtapes, I know you young bucks are listening like for real. If you were putting together the bomb mixtapes, you had influence. If you were the bomb athlete and you had a house party, you get that athlete to come to the house party or that team mm-hmm. to come to the house party. Everybody's coming to the house party.
Yep.
And so influence just had its own little thing going on, and oftentimes influence was linked to popularity with your immediate environment. Trips me out about that now, though, is you can have somebody who publicly is an introvert, who publicly people don't even like, who actually has an abrasive personality, millions of followers, depending on how they utilize the platform. So, you know, it kind of trips me out that it's so many different people from so many different backgrounds.
Yeah. And this is
becoming influencers.
Definitely. And it's the accessibility of it all.
Yeah.
Because now you could be popular in a small town, but there was a reason why you're popular. You might have that it, but now the world see you. And that it has access to you. There's 4 billion people in this world. So when you're that small town hero now, and people have access to you, and the world see you, the same vibe that they liked, the world might like.
Yeah.
So that has a big impact today.
Yeah. You look at how music was impacted by television. right? Elvis was swiveling his hips on TV.
Yes.
And
yes.
they didn't want that to be seen. And if it weren't for television, the Beatles wouldn't have took the world by storm the way they did, right?
Definitely.
And so you look at how all of that happened, and Ed Sullivan was a big deal. Johnny Carson, getting on Carson was gold. Dick Clark and American Bandstand. I don't know these folks listen like, this dude is really old. But this is how,
that's
people,
how it started.
That's how people got put on. And now, a different swag.
And you know what? I also think that this is an extension of earlier, let's just say in the 90s, you had talk radio. And talk radio started merging. You had people like Rush Limbaugh and those type of people. And as they got popular and influential, because he's definitely turned the country, in my opinion, he helped turn the country to the right. And when he did it, people saw it. And you could look at Fox News. I think Fox News is definitely an example of how you influence things and how you could change a narrative to the point where now we have something called alternative facts. So when you do these things, look, I don't want to call it common. Everyday people see it, and they'll try their luck. I look at sports shows out there. It's like millions of sports shows that I follow that I like better than some national shows. So this thing is getting better with technology. I think the props, I think even with Blunt Conversation, I say, whoa, I got to step up my game, because the technology that's out there, you can have like a studio in your room now, and it doesn't really cost that much to do.
It does not.
So, hey, it's fun. And I once heard a wise man say, like Buffett say, find something you love to do. And one thing that a lot of people love to do is talk and influence people, and they're going for it now.
Hey, man, you look at even when we talk about the serious issues, man, in politics, for example, social media was the thing that bolstered Alex Jones.
Yes.
And I won't front, it was so good to see Alex Jones get nailed for his blatant misrepresentation of the facts and being held accountable and having to pay folks for people who have lost their children, and you're utilizing the platform on social media, millions of followers, and you're cashing in online about these folks. That's been held into account. But that 8chan, 4chan, all of these networks, we talked about January 6th on several occasions, understanding would have never happened were it not for social media.
Definitely.
We don't get on these platforms, but they got millions of people.
Right.
Definitely.
That's true.
Chiming in. And like Vanessa was saying about her comment and all these different, her post and all these different comments, these sites, somebody will comment on or post something about what they don't like about the Biden administration, and you'll get 2,000 amens, and it'll get shared another 4,000 or 5,000 times. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's the echo chamber of the day, and there's nothing we can do about it. Vanessa, how much time do you put into social media? That's my biggest problem with social media. It takes work, man.
It does. Yes. It does. I really don't put in the time that people may think I do, and I don't do it because, well, you're not paying me. So I'm not going to put that type of effort into it. If I was, absolutely, I would, you know, go for it all the way. But it does take some time. You know, for example, I went to Puerto Rico back in June with my family, and I had tons of pictures, I'm still not even done putting stuff together of everything that I've done, because it takes time to truly put these things together.
Yes, it does.
But, you know, I think if it's your business and you know, like, you're monetizing and getting paid to do it, it's worth it. You put the time in.
Yeah. And that's the catch. In order to get to that level, you got to put the time in first. You know, I'm hoping that you're listening right now from Spotify or iHeartMedia, one of these many outlets across the country. Man, I rocked with just 91.3 FM for 6 years before I was able to make that leap. You know, it was the consistency of just trying to do it. So that's the catch. But this is where young people come in. They, like, literally live on that thing.
They do.
I can't do it, Mark.
I can also say it's not only young people. I'm going to give an example of something that went – this word that came up called viral.
Yes.
A brother, he was an older brother, started singing about, who was it? Patti LaBelle's sweet potato pie. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it sold out at Walmart. And when it sold out, Walmart got a hold of it and said, whoa, wait a minute. There's something to this. And all that started from a YouTube or Instagram video.
Yep.
And it got monetized, and corporate America looked at this thing and said, wow, this thing is something that we could use, we could bat, and we only got to pay pennies on the dollars, and sometimes we get it for free. And they learned how to manipulate it, and they put together these algorithms, and we kind of create these algorithms ourselves.
We do.
But we just don't know how to exploit it the way that other people do.
Mm-mm. So, Vanessa, I want you to react to these numbers, because I got the top earners from Instagram, right? And we're going to go over YouTube as well. The YouTube one trips me out because it's just this cornucopia of, well, listen, I'll get to that in a minute. Instagram top earners. Cristiano Ronaldo, soccer player, international star. $2.3 million. We're talking just Instagram.
Just
We ain't talking about their endorsement with shredded wheat. Yes. We ain't talking about their shoe endorsements.
Right.
We talking about just Instagram. Number two, Kylie Jenner, who might be sexier than her sister, but in any event, $1.8 million. Leo Messi, another soccer player.
Yes.
Right? And they'll call them footballers if you're listening and you're not from the United States. Marcus is a footballer.
Football.
$1.7 million. Selena Gomez, who I personally thought she was kind of on the downside.
Yep.
She's right in there at number four, 1.7. The Rock, 1.7 at number five. And Kim Kardashian, 1.6. Little sister's kind of killing on it, so 1.689. Ariana Grande, 1.687. Beyonce comes in at seven.
It does some.
1.393. Khloe Kardashian, 1.3. Kendall Jenner, 1.29. And so I'm sure you've picked up on this. Top 10 at Instagram, four of them are Kardashians.
Yep.
Sisters. If anybody has learned how to monetize, it has been the Kardashians.
Definitely.
Vanessa, unpack that for us in your opinion, because I remember watching the Keisha Cole show. And Keisha Cole, her sister, Nephi, like they say in the South, you know, bless your heart. They just they couldn't figure out how to make this thing profitable the way the Kardashians did. I've watched a lot of people try. But Mama Kardashian knows how to catch lightning in a bottle. And what trips me out is she knows how to stick that bottle in just the right place and catch another bolt of lightning. Right. And it's proven to just be good at it. Why do you think they've stayed on top so long and they have such dominance in this space?
They've been willing to sacrifice everything.
Mm.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole, like literally for years, from the very beginning when it started, Kim Kardashian sacrificed herself by exposing herself on a sex tape.
This is so
true. That came out, I think it was this year, earlier this year that it came out, that her and her mom actually, they put that together. They set that up, and Ray J signed off on it. And they pretty much in the way he's described it is kind of like he felt as if he didn't have a choice. He just was kind of strong arm into it, kind of convinced, like, I guess. And so for all these years, they've always made him to seem like he was the bad guy, as if he's the one that leaked it. And it came out. He has the documents that shows that they signed off legally, all of them, to do it. And the mom was the one who watched her daughter have sex and was the one in the background telling them what to do.
Oh, man. And listen, if you can see my face right now, I am mind blown listening to this.
Sacrifice.
Especially when you use the term strong arm. Mark, if that's what strong arming looks like, I think a lot of men would line
up. Right. Line up for it.
And I feel like that played a role in it, right? He was younger. He had his own career going on. And he was, you know, I think in a sense he was influenced by this beautiful woman that he was in a relationship with. But he was also easily, you know, now I don't want to say easily convinced, but clearly her mom did a great job at convincing him that this was the best course of action for her career.
And she was right, obviously.
And it happened. So I feel like for this family, it was sacrifice.
But let's go back.
She's on to something with that, I think, Mark.
Let's go back and look at before the Kardashians. Who was there? She was I almost said side piece. She was a sidekick to who? It was Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton was
her closet organizer.
Influencer.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't monetize it the way that the Kardashians did.
Mm-hmm.
The Kardashians saw it. She tried. But I say she took it as far as she could take it.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have as many of them, or I don't think she looked like them. And Kim kind of put a hip-hop spin to it by some of the people that they was messing with, or right. some of the people that they were with. And one thing that I noticed is, like, they caught this vibe of reality shows, and they have a bigger audience because they appear to be, or they are, white, which is a larger audience, versus your shows like Real Housewives of Atlanta, who mm-hmm. kind of does the same thing. These are everyday people that are stars. Basketball Wives, Shawnee, and all these other yeah. people. These are quote unquote influencers. Mm-hmm. So this is how this happens. Paris kind of sets this tone, but she couldn't monetize it the way that the Kardashians did it.
You named a couple of good ones, because Shawnee from Basketball Wives, she's done really well with this because it's her
yes,
show.
She has, it is, right? Definitely.
Yeah.
NeNe Leakes has done really well on Atlanta Housewives. And some of these other housewives have done as well. I want to go back to your point though, Vanessa, because I think you're on to something. And that has been the pattern of the Kardashian bearing their souls to the point where, and I say this in all seriousness, to have one of the most decorated Olympians of all time transition on this. And so that, right. to me, may have been more of bearing your soul than even the sex tape.
Right.
This dude was Mr. Wheaties box.
Yes.
And so I think you're on to something. And so this begs the question, is that the price, though, for social media fame? Do you believe the more you're willing to let people in, more money you can make?
You just think about what are your beliefs? What are your morals? What are you truly willing to sacrifice about yourself and others? Because not only have they sacrificed themselves, they sacrifice each other. Mm. If you have watched the show or paid attention throughout the years here and there, you have seen them sacrifice each other for ratings. You know what I mean? Just to have that drama, factor going on at all times. You know, most people speculate the reason they left one channel to go to another is because they just weren't as interesting anymore. And people were just kind of tired of the, you know, the fakeness, the plastic look, the old cultural appropriation, the flashing of the wealth on a regular basis. Oh, I use my jet to fly 15 minutes, you know, that for a drive that takes 15, 20 minutes, I fly my jet there. When we're, you know, people are like, really? Like, there's climate change. Like, why are you right. doing that? Like, you're not being conscious. Am I saying she shouldn't? That's your business. Because if I don't got to drive, I'm not driving. So if I had a jet, would I drive? Probably not. Take my jet. So,
and we got to look at people also. Mm-hmm. I think Sean Puffy Combs should be looked at also. Because he's taking his fame, and they figured out how to monetize it, how to market it like Ciroc. Ciroc and him is synonymous. He's not the owner of it, but he's part owner. Right. You can't think of the one without the other.
Right.
He's figured it out. And that's, I believe, is the successful thing about this whole thing, where people, they have a chance not to be exploited. No longer do you need the studios. No longer do you could take whatever it is you have straight to the people.
That's
a beautiful thing. That's all you need.
All you need is your phone.
That's it.
Yeah. People don't even buy cameras anymore.
When
was the last time you even owned a camera or even a throwaway?
Yeah.
Those was our joints back in the day, joints.
It's true.
You don't have to do that anymore because you have your phone. So when you think about sacrifice, what are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice time with your friends, your family, so that you can make it to where you are working to get to? So it's not necessarily always on the moral ground. But are you willing to put that work in? And putting in the work, it comes with sacrifice.
So here's the million-dollar question. And when it comes to the Kardashians, I think that this issue is greater than all the other issues surrounding them. And it keeps me up at night. Is Khloe OJ's daughter?
I don't know. You know, she kind of looked like she could be
a
daughter.
She looks a little different. She's a little bigger than the rest of the kids. She looks a little different than the rest of the kids.
Yes.
And I know that Chris,
did they say it's the juice?
It's the juice.
Juice?
You remember? Do you remember? Vanessa, I don't know if you do. Do you remember watching the news,
yes.
Mark, with the trial?
Yeah.
When they read the verdict, you've seen the playback.
Yes.
And Robert Kardashian was on his team.
Yeah.
He looked outraged to the negative when they found him not guilty.
Yeah.
You watched that playback.
And you gotta wonder why.
You gotta wonder why.
Because he still had to keep his professionalism because that was his client. So who knows, in the digging of information about whether or not this man was innocent, he might have actually found out that, in fact, the man slept with his wife.
Mm.
I mean, why else would he be looking like that?
Yeah.
And everyone, I mean, again, if you follow the show and have done so, throughout the years, the mother has cheated on Robert Kardashian.
Yeah.
That has come out.
Yeah.
And just recently, there was an episode where, like, Khloe asked her mom, well, you know, how'd you do it? Like, how'd you feel about cheating? Like, how did you do it?
Mm-hmm.
What were you thinking?
And she said,
because she has experience being cheated on multiple occasions mm-hmm. by just one individual alone.
Where's Maury at when you need him?
And you, but you know what, though, Mark, keep it a thousand. Very few black men enjoyed, to this very day, OJ is, to this very second, one of the most popular African-American figures in sports history. Definitely. I mean, during his heyday, OJ was Mr.
Running
America.
Through airports. He was Mr. Hurts.
With an old white lady saying, go OJ, go.
Yeah.
It's under, people, you know, we know him as, oh, man, he's the murder suspect. Nah, he was the bomb athlete, first of all.
He wasn't black. He's OJ.
There you go.
Right. I've heard okay. white people say that.
I'm not black. I'm OJ. You ain't lying about that. I got to give honorable mention, though. We're talking about social media influencers and people that came up. Your girl, Bad Baby, Cash Me Outside. How about that?
The Cash Me Outside girl.
Come on, man.
As soon as she turned 18, at midnight, she set up her OnlyFans. Highest paid. The most money in one night. In one, a 24-hour time span.
How about that?
Millions of dollars.
There you go. That?
When she turned 18. And then she was like, oh, look at y'all. Y'all over here, pedophiles. And, you know, she was talking crap because she's like, oh, y'all really waited till I turn 18 at midnight.
Yeah.
And but she got money. She got paid. And I'm like, hey, listen, I'm all for people, you know, making sure that they are having standards and not overexposing themselves and whatever. But again, it's still your business on how you choose to live your life, how you want to dress or yeah, whatever. Absolutely. But if you can make a couple dollars, do what you do, because people are here exposing themselves for free and ain't getting nothing.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that, but it's a fact.
It is really a fact. And OnlyFans, like, OnlyFans is the one, because you got a whole lot of everyday folk going to OnlyFans. Who, I don't know if it was on OnlyFans or not. Who was the political candidate, female political candidate, that was just had her videos exposed with her and her husband? Who's a lawyer on top of that?
That did just happen, and I forget who she was.
Yeah, I think
she's just running, I believe, and that happened, and she had to take something down.
Yeah, the video was
I can't
leaked.
Remember who it was, but I know earlier this year, for primaries, there was a black woman, very good looking. I can't remember what type of position in a political field she was running for, mm-hmm. but she did a video promoting herself, mm-hmm. twerking upside down, vote for me, while shaking it. And I was
but
like,
as
you know,
as we go now,
it's a little far.
I think a lot of us is going to run into that, and it's going to be numb, because our lives now, and I look at it, I am a grandfather. I look at my grandkids will be able to see me or see my page one day, because I guess these things are forever out mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. And look at granddad at homecoming. Look at granddad at this. Look at granddad at that. And I think now our lives are being recorded. And this is probably one of the most recorded generations of all time. Because look what we do. Look where I'm eating, y'all. Look where I'm at. Look what I got to eat.
Yeah.
Everything is picture worthy. Everything is a video.
Everything's
people
there.
Don't even talk to each other anymore.
Yep.
There's no such thing as writing a letter to anybody.
Yeah.
There's no having to keep up with somebody from high school. You're friends with them on Facebook.
Yeah.
You don't need to talk to them ever.
Yeah.
Oh, look at little man growing up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's really just where we are in this day and age. And it's like, it has its pros and its cons. And sometimes you don't know what's the better evil or what, you know, what is it? One of the two of the lesser evils.
Yeah.
Because with that good, there also comes the bad.
You know who picked up on that? My son, Miles. We go places and it took me a minute or two to pick up on it. Because he's the one child that I post about a lot, and that's my little sidekick. Mm-hmm. We together all the time. We go places, and people are like, "Hey, Miles!" And Miles was like, "Hey, a lot of folks recognize me from your social media feed, man." You know, and it's very true. But I mean, at the end of the day, it does come down to, Mark, you're right. This is eternal. What's out there is out there. Mm-hmm. Kim Kardashian going back to bearing their soul. I know we mentioned it before. Her son, mm-hmm. Saint West, saw an ad for her sex tape while he was playing Roblox.
Yep, a kid's game.
A kid's game.
There we go.
You playing the game, and now hit. And now a word from our sponsor, Ray J and Kim.
But should she be upset? After all these years,
right.
Do you have the right to be mad when
not.
It is out there?
You do not.
When you made that decision mm-hmm. knowingly
yep.
that one day your children will see mm-hmm. your tape out there. It's gonna end up in their DMs one day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Purposely.
It is what it is. Which begs the question, who's the richest Kardashian? Vanessa, who's the richest? Give me the
Kylie.
Okay, give me the order. You got Kylie. Who?
Kylie Jenner is going to be Kim, then Khloe, Kendall, and then Courtney.
All right, let me get a breakdown.
I think that's it, but.
Get a breakdown.
I don't follow them that much.
If Kim didn't sign that prenup, I would have had Kim being there.
And you know, one and two is controversial. I got to be honest about you. I mean, the source for this is 17, right? Number one, Kim Kardashian, $1.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two, Kylie at $750 million. Now, here's the catch, and I'm not saying yay or nay. They announced not too long ago, Forbes magazine announced her as the youngest self-made billionaire. A lot of people push back about the self-made, but
he's self-made. Oh, yeah, last year.
She was born into wealth. And then they dug into some of her personal circumstances and you know, overinflated numbers and so on and so forth. And so they have her net worth supposedly is $750 million. I'm not saying it is or it isn't,
mm-hmm.
right? But that's what they have here. Number three, Kris Jenner, $170 million.
True.
Kris Jenner still gets 10% of everybody's hustle.
Executive producer.
As she should.
The momager. She built the empire.
Yeah, she's putting in the work to make it happen for them.
And then you got Joe Jackson and you got Kris Jenner.
There you go. There you go.
You got to get credit where credit
right,
is due.
Right.
Number four is Kourtney Kardashian Simpson. Just joking. Kourtney Kardashian.
It's Khloe Kardashian Simpson.
It is Khloe.
Allegedly.
Kourtney, $65 million. But a lot of people think that her net worth is going to come up because of her marriage to Travis Barker.
True.
And I'd be inclined to agree with that because if you look at even, you know, we talk about Will and Jada, and not to discredit Jada at all, her personal net worth has benefited tremendously from her relationship with Will Smith.
Absolutely. It has. It's and probably why they don't want to get a divorce, though, because she ain't up there yet. You know what I'm saying? No prenup.
Let me sidebar on that for me. Did you see the interview?
Which one? Because she hasn't stopped talking.
The most recent interview, I just watched it. It was about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a week ago. She was being interviewed one of the primary networks.
It's like Good Morning America or something?
No, it was an evening show.
Hoda?
Yes.
I saw a little bit online.
Yes.
She said a lot on there.
I didn't realize leading up to the Oscars, they had been separated for years.
Right. They've been frauding.
That's what she said. She was clean about it. And she said that during the time when the whole thing came out with the entanglement, they weren't together.
Right. So it begs to differ. Was he crying because he was genuinely hurting? Or was he crying to give her some ratings? He's a great actor. Oscar worthy. Oscar. He has an Oscar or two.
You know, Vanessa,
so you kind of have to wonder, like, was you really crying tears, or were you faking the funk because you helping her get paid?
See,
I think he was really crying, though.
During your greatest triumphs, this is when the devil comes for you, Vanessa.
That's true.
This is what he said. But she gave up all the tea,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they're saying that Kourtney will benefit from that. And I'm sure that that's true. Five is Khloe Kardashian.
Mm.
Okay, $60 million. And then last is Kendall Jenner. For 2 years, Kendall Jenner, I'm blocking on which years, highest paid model in the industry for two years straight. You know, from a model perspective, she's legit. She's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and even with Kylie, for everything Kylie's doing, Kylie's a smart businesswoman. You know, I was just at the airport the other day. At both airports that I stopped at, there's a kiosk with all of her
makeup.
Yeah, at the airports.
Right.
That's a huge deal. But this is the breakdown of the Kardashian wealth. And so they're worth collectively about $2 billion. It's a hell of a come up.
Yeah, ain't too many families who that combined are worth that much.
Then also, I think what we must talk about influence is just not the ones that monetize. You have Dr. Umar Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's definitely influencing, even though if you go back, you trace it, it seems like he's Dr. John Henry Clark. He's a disciple of that. Clark is in videos. Dude is in social media. But he's an influencer. You got people like Kevin Samuels, I believe, he hit his mark. And you got Country Wayne, who is going a different way than what used to have to happen. You used to have to do like, you know, Jeff Jams, or you had to do a concert. This man has a series that's going on, whether he's Drip or whether he's Buddy, and is growing. He has a lot of followers. So there's a lot of influences out there, and it's just growing and getting bigger.
Activism, Sean King.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And listen, if you hear the kind of a rush sound in the background, that is the sound of rain pitter-pattering.
The nor'easter.
Right.
Of the studio here. I love the organic sounds of our studio.
That's Erie for you.
Yeah. Down here from the lush streets of Parade Street in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Right.
So, you know, but Sean King, if you look at influences from a political standpoint, if Sean King goes in on you politically from his webpage, expect somebody to come after you about something. From a legal standpoint, again, you know, Ben Crump. I think Ben Crump has become that guy. And everything he touches goes viral in terms of him representing people that are going through different issues. And so I think at the end of the day, it all comes down to the internet has changed the game. I want to go to YouTube. Talked about Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
YouTube trips me out because there's so many different styles on YouTube. And you know, I watch my son watching people do like ratings, but their own little critique of video games. You're watching him play the video game and talk about it. I'm like, wouldn't you rather just play the game?
Go play it for yourself.
This is good. This is good.
They do that with toys too.
Yeah, they do.
Watch other kids play with toys.
I'm gonna give these numbers, and I have to tell you, man, this stuff is impressive for YouTube. Number one, highest paid YouTubers. One, Jeffree Star. He is a musician, and kind of out there, you see a little bit of Marilyn Manson. There's a lot of different elements that come into his thing. Subscribers, 15.9 million. Estimated net worth, 200 million. Estimated 2022 income, 15 to 20 million.
I think he does makeup.
That, yes.
The makeup tutorials. And if he says it's bad, it's bad.
Yeah. Another channel, like Nastya, Anastasia Radzinskaya, young lady, she's 11, 104 million subscribers. Making $18 million in 2022. Jimmy Donaldson, number three, who is known to you as Mr. Beast. Have you watched Mr. Beast?
No.
You have not?
No.
This dude gives away homes, cars.
Yeah.
Wow.
He drew a huge circle one time at a car lot and said, as many cars as you can get in this circle by this allotted time, they're all yours. This dude is something else,
right,
man. His videos.
I've heard good things.
Yeah. His videos are something else, man. He's killing it. He's got 130 million subscribers. He's made 54 million in 2022 off of that. Ryan Kaji, Ryan's World. This kid is 11, 34.2 million subscribers.
Mm.
This kid made 54 million in 2022. I don't know how they have this thing ranked, because some people that are lower have higher numbers. You got another set of twins, Vlad and Nikki, you know, kitty influencers. They're 11 and 9, 92 million, 92 million subscribers. 92 made 43 million. Logan Paul, who personally, I'm not a big fan. PewDiePie, after that, you know, 111 million subscribers, and it goes on. But the numbers that they're driving are absolutely ridiculous, especially from kitty influencers. Vanessa, your kids are not kids anymore. They're young adults. If they were 9, 10, 11 years old, and they had a strong appeal, you know, you put them on video, and it runs to 100,000 views, would you run with it? Would you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't I? This is a family affair. I mean, I'm not saying I'm about to turn into Joe Jackson or Kris Jenner, the momager, but I would absolutely make sure that they run with that.
Yeah.
I think it boils down to, again, like the sacrifice, but it's also the support. Because if you don't have the support, and I'm not saying it has to be your family supporting you or your friends, because a lot of times that support that you get is not from your family or your closest friends. It's usually from other folks.
That's right.
But why not run with it?
Yeah.
And just making sure that since they're young, that the money that they're making, you know, is definitely going towards them. Because we've heard the stories about child stars who grew up broke because their parents did them dirty.
Yeah, you leave Gary Coleman out of this. Leave Gary Coleman out of this.
You know what? I didn't even say his name.
You going, what you talking about, Vanessa?
What you talking about, Vanessa? Right.
Mark, would you run with it, man? You got your grandchildren, you got your kids. If you were in a position, would you run with it, man?
I would leave it up to their parents. I don't know. I think each kid is different if that's the world that they want to be in. And you could tell that's the world that I was in, perhaps. I'm not really in that world. I reserve it for their privacy until they say otherwise. You know, yeah, I would like to show their little league football or soccer games. And if it get a lot of likes, a million likes, I would say, hey, we got to talk about this.
Right.
That's what I would do. But I would respect the parents because there is a group of people that like their privacy versus to be famous or popular or to be a celebrity. Yeah. Because as Vanessa said, once you become a celebrity, you give up a lot. Yeah. And people don't, until you live like that, you don't really understand what you gave up.
Yeah.
And you can't have that moment no more. You can't put it back until that memory of you fades. Mm-hmm. And then that's a different story altogether. So no, I don't necessarily say I will put them out there. I will share them with my friends, my circle. That's different. But as far as to put them out there to the world to see, no, I think I'll wait to see what type of person or person they want to be.
Mm-hmm. But Nessa, you think these people are prisoners to their fame?
I think some are. I think that it becomes a drug. It's addiction. Mm. They're addicted to the views, the likes, the attention, the constant, paparazzi following them everywhere and anywhere they go, to sometimes then cry about how they have no privacy, but you just did that to yourself. Who called TMZ? Your people. So at some point, you got to own up to your stuff of not being able to have the privacy that you would like to have because you are exposing yourself in that saying. I'm not saying you shouldn't have some sort of privacy because absolutely, you're human.
Yeah.
You know, you want your moments to yourself and everything shouldn't be for social media. But in this day and age, we all know that's not true because according to society, everything is for social media. Mm-hmm. Whether you're doing your makeup or eating some food or whether a murder just took place, everything is for social media.
Yeah.
People do not lift up their phones to call 911.
They
lift up their phones
to record
what's going on.
Yeah.
So they can be the first ones to report, so-and-so just got shot, check on your peoples, oh my God. Instead of helping, you might have been able to save a life. Instead, you helped take that life. But some people don't want to hear that and they don't want to accept responsibility, but that possibly could be a story for another day.
No.
Yeah, I'm just saying, people do not do that. Everything is for social media. Even people who don't have the most popularity or have that type of influence still post everything or anything on social media because they want those likes. And you have to be able to know when enough is enough and say, you know what? I just want to enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because if I literally documented everything I do, my social media would probably be a lot more popping these days. But I don't do that because I truly enjoy just being able to not have to pull my phone out.
Yeah.
And just actually enjoy the moment that I'm making these memories, that everything doesn't have to be for social media. But if I actually did that, it'd probably be a whole lot more booming. But mm-hmm. I just don't do that. Mm-hmm. It's just recognizing within yourself, do I have to post this?
Yeah.
Versus do I need to post this?
Vanessa listen, you're taking the show down a needed and necessary left turn. Because we're talking about the age of influence.
Mm-hmm.
This is a part of the age of influence. And you're right. You can be getting raped, robbed, and molested on a street corner. And it's scary how literal that is.
Yeah.
People would rather tape it than call 911 because they don't want to miss the footage. They want the content.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a part of it. Well, let me ask you something personally. You're in this very small group of people, and people are in this category all throughout this country, all throughout the world on various levels.
Mm-hmm.
You are in a category where people can point you out of a lineup and be like, that's Vanessa Bellin.
Mm-hmm.
Downtown, at the mall, at the grocery store, everybody ain't in that category.
Right.
Does that feel suffocating sometimes?
It does. Early on, it was okay because I was just like, hey, I'm fighting for justice, so I don't care who recognizes me, you know. But at one point, I remember a couple years or so later, I was out to eat with a friend. And that wasn't our first time going out to eat, but I already went out to eat several times. And every single time we went out, I was constantly somebody was coming up to me, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. Oh, you know, just all these words of encouragement and things of that nature or whatever. And one day they were just like, oh my God, you are the poster child for mothers who lost their sons. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, no, I'm not. And he was like, no, you really are. And I just, that always sat with me because I don't want to be the poster child for that, because I feel like, yes, I am Elijah Jackson's mother. And he was a beautiful soul. And I will always, till my last breath, fight for justice. But there's so much more to me, right, besides the fact that I am the mother of a victim. And so I'm, you know, even now I'm still working on that with myself to, you know, my son recently was like, Mom, you know, it's okay for you to put everything with Elijah, like forever Elijah, and you have life of a griever, but people want to know you. There's more to you than just you lost Elijah. And that really stuck with me because I was like, damn, my baby just ate me up. But he's right. You know, like there's so much more to a person than just that. And so, you know, now it's more because it's been 8 years. So it's a little bit different when people recognize me. So when they see me, like just recently, which was, you know, if I could, I probably would have cursed this lady out. But I was like, we're in a party. I'm going to be nice. But I went to a Halloween party and this lady comes up to me and she's like, I know you from somewhere. And she recognized me from a doctor's appointment I had went to. And I was like, oh, yeah, I was there for that. And then she was like, oh, you the one that lost your son, huh? And I just wanted to punch her. And I ain't going to hold you. I wanted to punch her in the face. Like, are you serious? Yeah. That's not even how you approach somebody.
No.
You could have left it at, I recognized you from the doctor's office. Not, and she was definitely, you know, inebriated. So I didn't want to give her a free pass. But my kid is in the background like, I'm about to cuss her out. And I'm like, no, let her go. It's not worth it. She's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the host and everybody was a little bothered by that. And I was like, just let it go, guys. I'm used to it. And I shouldn't be, but I am. Under different circumstances, of course, I'd be like, really?
Mm-hmm.
But I would never, like, address or come at somebody while I'm in someone's home, first and foremost. And second of all, when my kids are around. Because, you know, then they're going to get involved, too. And I don't want to take it to that level. But mm-hmm. I will definitely let somebody know, like, you didn't have to ask me that. That's disrespectful.
Yeah.
So a lot of times people will recognize me and they will literally sit there thinking, like, where do I know her from? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, maybe I just got that kind of face. Like, I don't, you know, because I'm not telling you. Let you figure that out later when you get home. Like, man, that's where I know her from.
Mm.
But it sometimes it has these moments where I'm like, I really don't want to be bothered. But I still try to be as nice and polite to folks because you have to look at it like this. Do they even know any better?
Yeah.
A lot of times they don't. So you just kind of just let it go and just give it to God. Like, you know, okay.
Mark, you said earlier that once it's out there, it is out there mm-hmm. forever.
It's out there. And the thing is that some people, again, they think they want something. Sometimes the worst thing that can happen is you get what you want and you're not prepared for it. And these things happen because, again, the fame of it, the fame of the being the influencer,
mm-hmm.
if it's your voice, that's the best thing. If it's just your voice, like say right now, a lot of people don't know what I look like. A lot of people just hear this voice. That's different. But when it's your face, when you do the broadcasting,
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit different because you do lose that sense. You could be at a dinner a long, long time ago. And I think everybody at this table has experienced this somewhat because Marcus, you made the news, and Vanessa, you everybody know her story. And if you don't, she's been on TV for many things. And a long, long time ago, many pounds ago, I was too. And when you walk around and someone says, that's that guy or that's that girl, and you're at a moment where you might be on your first date with somebody and that right there, and you gotta be kind of like respectful mm-hmm. yourself because a lot of people see you as you're theirs, you're their version of you.
Yeah.
And they treat you as that. And however you act from that moment on, that's the impression that you're gonna leave.
Yeah.
I mean, like if I act rude, that brother ain't nothing, blah, blah, blah. If I could be having a bad day, you're not allowed that moment.
Mm-mm.
Right.
You become theirs. And so when you run for office, when you become an influencer or you become a podcaster, you got to keep that in mind, or you become a public figure in some aspects. And many roles that I have to remember I'm not just me. I'm this role. I'm this person. And I got to carry that wherever I go. That's a burden. That's not easy.
Right.
So when you young people, if you want to be an influencer or quote unquote, you call yourselves leaders or what have you, remember that comes with it. that comes with it. Everything has a price. Everything.
That's true.
Yeah, this is true. So, you know, you've got people, you know, we talked about Sean King and a person that uses that platform to bring justice or to shine the light on injustices and say, are we okay with this? You got Bad Baby, Cash Me Outside, how about that?
Mm-hmm.
And doing the page on her birthday and then the Kardashians and everything in between. And it just has become the new norm. I shudder to think, where are we going? What's next? Right? I think that the blend of, and I'm just spitballing here, the blend of traditional social media and virtual reality. This is going to be interesting, right? Because, you know, my son has VR goggles, and Biggie had a concert on VR, and it tripped me out. I felt like I was in the audience, and Big's on stage, and I'm like, what in the world is going on?
Yeah.
So in a minute or two, it'll be not just, you know, I'm on Instagram and blah, 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 blah. It'll be on VR goggles. Hey, I'm at the party with Kendall Jenner and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, you're doing the selfie in the VR world. And that sounds crazy, but I honestly think this is where we're headed with this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to like accept it. And what are you going to do to demonetize for yourself if that's what you plan on doing?
There we go. I think you watch, you learn, you live. And we can't control it. No. It is going to be what it is. I would suggest to the parents, watch your children. Watch what they watch.
Absolutely.
Understand it. Communicate with them and have more conversation with them. Yes. And at Thanksgiving, when we all get to that table, cut your phones off and talk and see where their head's at. And then we'll be better for it, I think. Mm-hmm. I think a conversation is always better than a text.
Yeah.
I like texting, don't get me wrong, but I think a conversation is better. And I think I like to be around people that I like better than being on a FaceTime and them or in that note. But I don't know, to each his own. That's just me. However, I do like the ability to get our thoughts out. I am addicted to that part of it. That's why I'm here. I like to talk. I like people to know what's on my mind, and I like to know what's on your mind. And I think that is the hidden jewel of this whole thing. We can share ideas, and we could grow. Some things we'll agree on, some things we won't, but sometimes we'll come away a better person, I believe.
Well, the one thing I think we all agree on at the end of the day, this is definitely the age of influence.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
For richer, for poor, for better or worse, through sickness and health.
Literally. Through sickness and his health.
Yeah.
Definitely.
This is the age of influence. Vanessa Bellin, thank you so much for hanging
Absolutely.
Out with me and Mark
Anytime.
Today.
Anytime. One of my favorite people to hang out with. You know what I'm saying? Who better to talk shit with than with y'all?
Absolutely. Mark Blunt, the ultimate wingman. Thank you once again, partner, for hanging out and, you know, bringing some knowledge to the airwaves.
Thanks. I love being on here and look forward to being on here in the future and look for some new things coming out your way.
All right. Well, you talk about a revolving theme. I get the feeling that this theme will permeate so many different shows going forward because it is the new platform that really is setting the stage and starting to set the standard in the media landscape across the country, let alone across the world for that matter, let alone social media. And so stay tuned. I'm sure you hear more about this infused in other shows. But for today, that's it for us. Tune in next time for more discussion and analysis with local and national guests. Remember, the Next 2.0 streams on Fridays on all major podcast platforms and the fourth Sunday of the month at 4 p.m. on WQLN NPR 91.3 FM. I'm Marcus Atkinson. Come and join us again so that you hear about what's next for our communities and our democracy. Until next time, peace.